Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Jace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. We've got a loaded show for you. We're excited about that on this Tuesday. I have Alan Bell in studio with us this first hour in just a bit. We'll talk some NFL with him. And, man, is there a lot of NFL to talk about.
We're going to talk about cats. Can we talk about some cats, too, with Alan Bell? I think we should.
Nashville Cats?
No. You know, some the Dallas Cowboys MVP, the Black Cat.
Yeah, I did not. I've seen all the hubbub. I obviously was not paying attention last night.
Oh, Kevin Harlan has the call on it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I heard, he's pretty awesome.
He is.
He's pretty good at what he does.
My favorite is still when he was at the Super Bowl with you guys. You put him on the spot. There's the cat. Mean mugging.
Everybody's going, what is going on? The Giants fans, what? How did a black cat get on the field?
I know, it was funny. And then the game turned after that.
They'll blame the black cat.
They have. Sure. They have already because the game turned after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but a lot of NFL to get into.
That score was not indicative of the game. It got away late.
It definitely got away. But, hey.
The Giants are not very good.
They are not.
This just in. And that sets up the big matchup this weekend, Giants and Jets, something we will not talk about this week.
Ooh. That won't be on
with
pick
Alan
six?
Bell. No, it will not. It will not make it. Two just poop teams facing each other, but somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to win. So we'll get into all the NFL stuff with Alan Bell, David Poyle in the second hour. Third hour, we'll have Mitch Light. We'll talk some college football. Let's see, what's going on in college football? Anything big this week?
Big game and big rumor? Big rumor out there?
Well, there are some. This is the time, in all seriousness. This is when things start heating up on that front. This is when the rumor starts swirling. This is when interims get named. This is when schools are trying to figure out, do we want to get out ahead of the search and not wait till the end of the year? And so this is when things get dicey and very shaky for coaches and their job security.
There's a big job open in Florida State. There's a big rumor about a guy that his nickname is Big Game being a possible fit for that. So that's interesting. Do you think Stoops would really take that job? Is that... I mean, would you really leave the prestige of the XFL to return to college football?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what the state, and we'll ask Mitch this, if he knows, if he can shed better light of what the state of Florida State athletics is, because let's not forget why Jimbo Fisher left.
Right. No, and that's a fair point. And
it's because he basically looked around and said, are you guys going to keep up with everybody? We're Florida State.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to keep up with everybody? Did you go around and look at all the facilities and all the things you need in today's landscape? And so I don't know if they've, you know, usually that's how it works, right? It's like in sports, the team leaves, and then the city
like,
goes,
okay, fine, now we'll build the
now we'll build the stadium. Okay, we get it. They left, and we didn't really mean for you to leave, so okay, now we'll pony up. You know, it's kind of silly when you think about it. You can't get anything resolved. No. We're not going to build you this. And then they leave and they're like, okay, let's build it.
Right.
It's like, well, so do you need, you needed them to leave first and then you decide, oh, yeah, this is a good idea? So it's kind of the same thing. Oh, you needed Jimbo Fisher to leave and now you figured it out? Or have they? I don't know. Like I said, I don't know the situation is in Tallahassee, if they've got cranes everywhere and they're building new facilities all over the place and upgrading everything and anything and everything. They're spending money like Texas A&M did when they did $500 million in renovations. I have no clue. I haven't heard of anything like that, so it makes me suspect that they're not doing that. But other than the history, which is fantastic, if that isn't taking place, is it a great job?
Yeah, the history thing is important, but also irrelevant to today's college football?
Well,
because it's changed so much, and to your point of the facilities and everything that goes into a program, I mean, it's what we've talked about here with Vanderbilt and Derek Mason having his hands tied behind his back because the administration hasn't done anything over the last 20 years to improve things over there to help with recruiting. So Florida State, if you're going to get a guy like Bob Stoops, because Bob Stoops walked away. He was like, hey, I'm out. I'm done. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go. I got my millions. I'm going to go chill. I'm going to go play around in the XFL. You know, that I'm good. And now all of a sudden his name is popping up, which it has in the past with other jobs, but it's popping up with Florida State. If he's going to come out of retirement and get back into big-time college football coaching, he is going to have his say in what takes place. And if Florida State's not getting with the times and the whole reason that Jimbo Fisher left, then I don't see it happening at all. So, to your point, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes either, but if you're going to get big game Bob, you got to have top-notch stuff.
Well, I mean, the one thing they got going for him, it's the state of Florida. So that's a very, very fertile ground for recruiting. The athletes are, you got tons to choose from. So for recruiting purposes, it's a gold mine. You're in the ACC. Let's be honest. Right now, it's a pretty darn easy path. You got one big, gigantic elephant in the room, and outside of that, there'll be a year
where you're
at
your best, you can hang with.
Well, but there's a year, when a Pittsburgh will be good, or a year when Louisville will be good, or a year when North Carolina or Virginia, but sustainability, like huge, like team that year in and year out, it's not Miami, Florida of old. It's Miami, Florida today. It's not Miami, Florida in the 90s or 80s. Okay. That's not the case. So you've got Clemson, and that is the big dog in the. So the path is, I don't want to say easy because the ACC is very good, but the path is certainly not like the SEC. So the path is very, very obtainable for Florida State year in and year out to be right there running with the big dogs and vying to get into the playoffs, right? There's no reason why they couldn't be like that. They've won a national championship. I mean, they've been there. They've been there, done it. So I don't know.
Florida State seems like a program that would be capable of getting back to the promised land quicker than a lot of others, right? I mean, I think they should be able to get back there. You know, Willie Taggart just was a swing and a miss, big-time swing and a miss. And I never liked that hire, really, to begin with, because I didn't think – I mean, any place he's been, he did good enough to get another job, but it wasn't like he didn't blow anybody away. So he had the 1 year at Oregon that – I guess was good enough and impressive for Florida State, but
he had the ties. It wasn't because of his year at Oregon.
Well,
it was his ties in the state of Florida.
I've
never been impressed either. It's neither here nor there. He's gone, and it was a disaster. But it'll be interesting.
But they have
to
get this one right to get back to where they're supposed to.
Look,
they can't miss again.
Look at Tennessee.
Exactly.
I mean, there are examples. If we need to start naming examples of. Hey, keep swinging and missing and see what happens to your big-time program.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't make light of, well, they goofed on this one. Well, okay, but
they've goofed a few times
Don't goof again, because if you goof again, then you set yourself back even more, and then there's even more pressure to get it right the next go-around. So, look, it can snowball in a hurry. I mean, like I said, I hate to keep bringing it up, but Tennessee is a prime example of – I don't think they've done a very good job after Philip Fulmer of making great hires. And this is what it's been the last 11,
Philip
12
Fulmer
years.
Made the last hire. And I'm not ready to anoint Jeremy Pruitt just because they've been playing better. And, if they finish the season by, let's say, winning out or, only losing one more and
it's
then they go to a bowl game.
It's 7-5. It's Tennessee. Like
I understand, but considering what they have
I understand, but I mean, that if that's your standard, it just goes to show you. Like, if everybody feels good about that and that could play out, if that feels good, 7-5, just think
about.
It feels
good this year.
Think about the marker.
It doesn't feel good next year. Like, you would have to get better next year.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, well, I remember when 9 wins wasn't good enough or 10 wins wasn't good enough. And now it's like, hey, things are getting better. It's 7-5. It's like, wow.
But that's the problem, though. And I'm not accusing you of this, but the Vols fans, like you have to, where you have been, you've been so deep in the dumps that you have to take steps. You're not going to just all of a sudden go from 2 wins to 10 wins. It's not how this works. So if they go from, you know, the dumps of Butch Jones and then Pruitt, okay, get a little bit better in year one, get a little bit better in year two, get a little bit better in year three, then you're working your way back up there. Again, I'm not convinced that's going to happen yet. I just think they've been playing better. Maybe they figured something out at quarterback. Garantano got, you know, got the message that he's got to be better. I don't know. But if they continue on that path, then you have to feel better, maybe not good. But it also can't be the standard every year. It's just like the Titans going 3 straight years of 9-7. That can't be the standard.
Does it feel better after losing to Georgia State and BYU at the beginning of the year? Of course.
Sure.
Yeah. Because it looked like, oh my gosh, they're going to win 3 games.
Or... But you'll still, if they get 7 wins, you'll still look back at those 2 losses and go, what could have been? I mean, you'll still have that.
So some of the things that you'll hear out there around the Florida State job will be the Stoops brothers. Bob and Mark will both be rumored. You're going to have Josh Heupel rumored right there in the state. You're going to have P.J. Fleck rowing the boat. He's going to be rumored. So just get ready. Those will be some
Jeff
some
Brom,
names.
Does he get rumored?
Probably not. Unfortunately, you know, this is how it works. That's why you always say strike while the iron's hot, because the minute things aren't hot, you kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
Fair or unfair, that's just what it is. And they're not – they've had a lot of injuries, and so they got mopped last year. What were they, 6-6, and they got mopped here by Auburn. So 6-7, and then this year they've dealt with a lot of injuries and they've been just okay or below average.
Right.
So that's just how it works. I mean, you have to stay at a high level.
Let me throw another wild card name at you. Would Cliff Kingsbury leave the Arizona Cardinals and come back to college football if Florida State came a-calling? Not that they necessarily should, but I've seen stranger things happen.
Why would you be interested in Cliff Kingsbury? I don't.
I know.
What is the attraction of Cliff Kingsbury other than they're going to be fun on offense?
I guess that's the attraction.
He got shown the door at Texas Tech.
He did, but then he was going to be an OC and then got an NFL job.
An OC, right. But, I mean, I don't know what attraction there would be for Florida State with Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
This is the same team that, you know, hired Willie Taggart and is paying him $17 million to go home.
It looks like a questionable hire at Arizona, and he got shown the door in Lubbock. So I don't know why Cliff Kingsbury would be on a list. It's kind of like we all scratched our head about Freddie Kitchens, and we all scratched our head about Adam Gase in New York, and we all were like, really? And guess what? So far, it's played out what we all suspected.
I didn't necessarily scratch my head on Adam Gase because I thought the Dolphins were a dumpster fire.
Yeah, you could say that. And the Jets.
And I do think he's
aren't a great organization either.
They're not. And I do think he knows what he's doing offensively. It's just, you know, I don't know. There's just a lot going on there.
All right, speaking of all that, we'll come back and talk NFL this hour with Alan Bell. We do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We always enjoy our conversations with Alan Bell. He's in studio with us, CBS Sportsline. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter. He's a very good follow, at Alan Bell 247. Always has good stuff out there. In fact, we refer to his tweets a lot on the show. Alan, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you guys. Y'all doing all right?
Well, we're doing better than a lot of quarterbacks, coaches, teams.
Yeah.
Let's start with the mess that is, because I started off the NFL season up there in Cleveland. I went to the Browns-Titans game, and it just hasn't gotten any better, other than we can sit here and go, how in the world did the Browns smoke the Ravens? Like, how did that happen after watching what we did Sunday night? But nonetheless, they're still a dumpster fire. I mean, they're 2-6, and it just looks like this thing. Baker Mayfield's walking out of press conferences, and Freddie Kitchens is getting destroyed. The media is all over them. And, you know, it looked like the paper champions are not going to live up to anything this year.
Yeah, the old paper tiger, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not going well at all. And, you know, it's kind of been – it starts with the head coach and quarterback because this entire team all offseason was built. You hired a head coach for the offense. You legitimately did everything that, you know, John Dorsey, the GM, did everything he could in free agency to build this offense, right? And it was smart play. Like, that's the NFL now. Like, build it. And if you can have a good offense, you can go as far as you want to. However, the offensive line is a disaster. Baker Mayfield has regressed completely. And
that's with Odell Beckham.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, is that you've invested all of this money. You've basically invested all this money in Christmas toys, like for the kids, and you have no batteries and nothing's open, right? Like, that's exactly
that
what
it is. That is a great analogy.
Yeah, like, you are just stuck, and there's nothing that you can do. Walgreens is far.
No, all the stores are closed.
Yeah, there's just nothing that you can do, right? So now, now all the negatives are going to show. So, you know, somebody like Odell Beckham, to where if you're winning – you know, he's eccentric and he's funny and kids love him and he's doing camps. When you're losing, it turns into, it looks like whining, and you know, and name whatever adjective you want, right? And think about how Browns fans, you know, I mean, we see it here. Every commercial break is a Baker Mayfield commercial.
Yeah.
I'm sick of him here. I can't even imagine what Browns fans are like up there. You know what I mean? So it's just a disaster. I don't think Freddie Kitchens is going to make it. I don't think he'll be the head coach of the Browns next year. It often does not work when you hire an interim. I think like 75 or 80% of them are fired within 1 year. It's a mess. I mean, long story short, it's a mess.
Well, by the way, that's a great stat. What is the last success story of an interim who made it?
Do we know? There might be one. I don't know. But
well, he wasn't even the interim head coach. It was Greg Williams.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was the OC.
Yeah.
That's true. You're right. Greg Williams is the one who coached him last year.
And Greg Williams, in my opinion, Greg Williams is looking better and better because things turned around with him as the interim head coach. Now, granted, Freddie Kitchens was the OC.
Yeah.
But Greg Williams, I mean, you know how he is. Yep. I think that CEO mentality that he has may have been better for
them. And think about it, right? Like, if you went, you know, right now from, and I don't know radio, you know, positions per se, right? But if you were the best, you know, radio show in the state of Tennessee, right? And then you did that, and then you jumped to, you're directing all of ESPN, you know, radio stations across Tennessee. That's a completely different job.
Right.
Right? And you have so much more on your hands, plus doing the best radio show in the state of Tennessee. Like, it's very hard. Not everyone's built to be a head coach, and I'm not inside there, so I don't know. Freddie Kitchens might be doing a great job, you know, and it's just execution or whatever. I don't know. But, I mean, you're right. Like, Greg Williams looks better and better. And look at New York. You know, do they get rid of Adam Gase? And does he get stuck in this kind of interim position again? Like, it's wild, man.
And then you have Whitehead going after people on Twitter.
That was bad.
I don't know him, and I don't want to throw, you know, it's easy to kick somebody when they're down, I guess, from afar. But, like, how dumb do you have to be to think that on any level,
yeah,
as an NFL player, this is a good idea to get on social media right after a game and just start going after people and saying the things that he did on social media? Like, how? What world does he live in? He thinks, yeah, probably nothing will happen from this.
I know, you know, and think about, I mean, even for us, like, social media can end your professional life
in
one tweet. Like,
yes.
If you're at the house,
yep,
you know, and you have a couple beers watching a game or something, right? Like, and I'm not saying that anybody would, you know, do anything.
No,
like,
but
that,
you're right.
Yeah, like, and I asked this question: say both of you played for, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies or the Predators or whoever, right? You just played professional sports. Would you have social media? I don't know if I would. I think this is where somebody like Marcus Mariota is very intelligent and is just, you know, and that's probably just his personality, but I don't know if I would. Now, it's good for your brand, you know, later on. It just seems like so much more of a risk than it's worth.
Yeah, I'd probably log off, but the thing is, there's so many players that they act like they don't have it, but they have a burner account, and then they name search, and then they'll approach media members of, hey, what'd you tweet this about me for?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
How'd you know? You have Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so they have don't have it.
Yeah. Now you're actively going after it. Like, I mean, you guys see it. Like, you know, see it on Twitter. Like, you'll get crazy messages all the time. Like, if you, you know, somebody disagrees with an opinion or a take or something, I mean, multiply it by a million, you know, if you're a player, it would be tough, man. I don't know.
Try tweeting bench Marcus Mariota. I mean,
you're
the worst person in the world.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, look, on one hand, if you do it responsibly, just like anything, and you're responsible about it, I don't know where it could be. But I see both sides. You're bringing up a really good point. Like, at some hand, you know, it's tough. Like, why would you ever want to get out there, especially when things are bad, and read what people say? But on the other hand, people have probably, because of their brand, they've made millions of dollars because of their brand, because of social media, because they're out there.
Yeah, and you know, and players are human beings, just like anybody the rest of us. So it's like, this is just what life is. Like, everyone has a Facebook or a Twitter, or, you know, one of them. So
actually a really good topic, because really when you think about it, they're great players. So don't get me wrong, but if Jalen Ramsey and Richard Sherman and I'm absolutely drawing blanks in Washington.
Josh Norman.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If they were just quiet, if they were church mice, would they? I mean, think about it. They're household names, even though I just botched on Josh Norman, but I knew exactly who it was.
Yeah.
It's because they've been very outspoken. They've done these things where these interviews and they go crazy. I mean, Richard Sherman, we all know the interviews.
We know the interview. Like, is Richard Sherman, if he doesn't have that Aaron Andrews moment,
interview, right? Yeah.
You know, it's a good question. And I think, you know, some people.
And so their popularity went up because everybody they know those names.
Yeah. I mean, Deion Sanders did it without social media.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
Yeah. So
can you imagine?
I know.
If Deion played in today's,
that'd be incredible.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I mean, social media wise,
yeah,
holy moly! So, how are they going to dig it? They're not going to dig out of this, right? This is
the Browns.
Yeah, they're in the toilet, and that's where they're going to be, they'll have to make huge changes in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the hard part, is that what do you do, right? Because you've already kind of put all your eggs in the basket. You've built offensively, and again, that's not a bad thing, but you look at it and say, okay. Where can we make the biggest jumps? Offensive line, for sure. They have to get offensive linemen. They've got to build that thing. Look at the Colts.
Like, Robinson cannot be your starting left tackle.
No.
He cannot.
No. Like, and that's why I think, you know, people look at the Colts situation. They say, how do they continue to go from, you know, Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, and then Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett? Now, don't get me wrong. Two of those are, you know, on all-time great quarterbacks. And Jacoby Brissett's pretty good, too. But it's offensive line. Like, offensive line can make your team so much better in any transition that you have, right? So that's the first step.
Luck didn't have a great offensive line when he first came into the league.
He didn't at all, and that's why he's out of the league, right? But Jacoby Brissett, they had built that thing. So that's why, you know, Jacoby Brissett had such a good transition, you know, because you've got a better run game. You've got more time. Your receivers have time. Like, that's what the Browns first they have to do. Second, you're going to have to decide quarterback, head coach, right? And you know, the way that the money works.
Quarterback.
Quarterback's going to win, right?
Because, every time.
Yeah, he's going to win. But
not 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 times.
You know, is Baker fixable, right? Like, I mean, look at him. Is Mitch Trubisky fixable? I don't know. The Bears are in the same situation. You look at the
but
head.
They actually believe in Nagy, though, right?
I mean, they
or
did.
Or do they?
They did. You know, like, what do you think now?
I still would. Yeah. I mean, I
he feels
I'm not ready
different
to
than,
write him
than
off
Kitchens.
Yet.
Like, this is my personal opinion, and I've also talked to some people that know the lay of the land.
Yeah.
John Dorsey kept Freddie Kitchens because John Dorsey knew that he could control Freddie Kitchens, right?
Yeah.
The GM wanted somebody that he could control.
You're not going to control Greg Williams.
So
No, you're not.
And so that is what John Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns will have to figure out in the offseason.
Yeah.
If you truly are committed to fixing him, it may be with a strong personality or someone that wants to run their own ship, and they don't want you constantly telling them what to do. And to me, John Dorsey knew with Freddie Kitchens he could tell him what to do, and he was basically Oz behind the curtain running the team.
Well, let me stop you there.
Okay.
Let me ask you that. Is that a good thing? Because it's gone down the drain.
No, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah, so you
it's
look
a good
up,
thing for him,
yeah,
but it's not a good thing,
no.
To your point.
So now it's like, okay, well, let's take it a step higher. You know, is there, you know, John Dorsey is tremendous GM. Like, you know, we saw what he did with the Chiefs. You know,
talent evaluator, he is as good. I mean, he really is. He's as good as it gets.
But that's only 40% of the job. Like, you still have to run everything else. And if you could get all the best players in the world. And if you're you know, titanicking this thing on the other end, it's not going to work. So I don't know. I mean, they've got issues up there.
Here's what they're missing. Because I thought when Greg Williams took over as the interim head coach last year, you saw that there was a no BS guy that was running the ship. And they have Freddie Kitchens that his only job was you work with Baker. You take care of Baker. And then Greg Williams, when he starts seeing some BS, he's like, hey, stop that. You don't have that guy anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. And you
and
know
Baker
what?
Needs that to be successful.
He does. And you know what? You bring up a great point, too. And I think that you look at the NFL. I mean, it's almost and I'm not making this political. I'm using this as a reference, right? A head coach in the NFL, kind of similar to being a president of the United States. There is so much to do that it's like you have to have the best team around you that knows how you operate, that knows, you know, hey, you know, he's up at this time. He could, you know, there's so many things going on. So you're exactly right. So you kind of build your organization and say, you know what, Freddie, you are tremendous and our team is better when you have one thing to do. And I don't care about money. I will pay you as much money as you want. You do this thing. And if you make Baker good, as he was last year, if you do that, that is going to raise everyone's value. Again, I do not care about money. I will pay you, you know, 3/4 of head coach money. I need that quarterback good, right? So do you look at it that way and say, all right, let's get a head coach. Let's get a CEO in here, right? But yeah, you focus on that. I don't know.
Or do they go out and say, Lincoln Riley, what do you want?
Oh, man.
If money's no object, man, what do you want?
Lincoln Riley, between the Browns, obviously I don't think the Cowboys job's going to come open unless they just completely collapse. The Falcons, you know, that job's going to be open. Mm-hmm. Man, his agent's going to have a bidding war on his hands. And, again, not to, you know, jump, you know, side note, but when does Lincoln Riley look at it and say, man, college, like, Oklahoma might be done. You have one loss, done, out, gone.
Right.
Right? Like, the NFL's not that way. Now, you like the control that you have in college, and you can recruit and do all the things that you want. Does he stay in college? Does he go to the NFL? I don't know. He's going to have a ton of money thrown at him this offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, more with Alan Bell on the other side. We got a lot more to get into NFL-wise. You can follow him at AlanBell247. He's with CBS Sportsline. We'll be back. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, hanging out with Alan Bell. He's with CBS Sportsline, 24/7, you do it all.
Try to, man.
I keep up with your gambling picks now, yeah, you know, with Sportsline.
Oh,
so,
by the way.
Yeah, are we close in the state, by the way?
It should be. It right. should
January, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be up and we'll be full-fledged going?
That's what they say.
2020, January?
That's what they say. You know, they certainly taking their time. Last night, by the way, speaking about picks, you talk about a bad beat. Like, I know that, you know, that last defensive touchdown for the Cowboys, you know, was the difference between the under and the over. I had a prop bet at +900 that the Cowboys would win by 11 to 13 points.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't want to hear anybody's over under.
+900?
+900.
Oh, wow.
I just literally tweeted. I was like, you have to be kidding me. Like, you have to be kidding
me. Like, we need to tell Scott Van Pelt. Like, that needs to be
that's
on
a bad
beat.
Beats. I know. I was like, and I was seeing people, like, you know, upset about the over under. I was like, I don't even want to hear
no
about
it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think Ricky had, my friend Ricky had the first half over under or something like that.
Yeah.
Was tweeting about that.
I told our audience yesterday, and I told Chase, that the NFL home teams all covered this weekend.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Except for last night.
Yeah.
Now, this was obviously going up into last night's game, but until that happened, every NFL home team had covered the spread.
Man, that'd be
which
a heck
the storyline the first 5 weeks was all about the road team's success.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
this has been a wild NFL season. Like, not even like just gambling speaking, like it just
in general.
Yeah, in general. Like, you have so many teams that are kind of right there that, you know, there's so many that are going to be sitting, you know, 4-5, 5-4, you know, battling.
So we were talking about Cleveland and just the debauchery going on there.
Yep.
A question that I wanted to bring up to you, because I was thinking about this over the weekend. You know, Miami wins, gets their first win of the year. The Jets are a dumpster fire. Of all of these teams that are just awful right now, which one do you think has the quickest turnaround, a la the San Francisco 49ers? Maybe not to that level because their quarterback was hurt, but they were bad last year without Garoppolo. Now look at them now. But which one do you think turns around the quickest?
All right, so we're gonna use the Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, and Redskins. Are they in there?
Yeah, put the Redskins in there, but I mean, you can throw Cleveland in there.
Cleveland would have the quickest because they have the most talent, right? Like, they would have the opportunity to do it the fastest. Denver as well. I like Vic Fangio. I think he's a great, you know, not only coach and teacher, but a really good culture guy. Denver just needs help with the quarterback position, offensive line position, as well. So Denver could do it. Washington has so much talent on that team, but they just have horrific leadership at the top between Bruce Allen and Danny Snyder, you know. So, I don't know. The Bengals, they're a disaster. They just need help everywhere. I kind of like Zach Taylor, but who knows?
They got to start over.
Yeah, the Jets.
Well, why didn't they trade AJ Green?
I don't know. Well, they said,
or Andy Dalton.
The organization says that it's diametrically opposed to trading. I'm not kidding. That's what they said.
Can you help us with that? What does that mean?
I have no idea. Like, if Bill Belichick is making trades, then I'm making trades, right? Like. Yeah, I have no idea, man, but they're a disaster up there. I think the Jets are the worst. Like, the Dolphins could be something. Like, they have three. Like, we did the NFL draft order this morning. The Dolphins have three first-round picks in the top 24. Mm. So, I mean, you know, you could go get Tua, Jerry Jeudy, you know, and what's the other wide receiver? They have Ruggs. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I mean, you get those three right there, and it's like, okay, we have an offense now. Right, like, so Miami could do it if they draft correctly. The Jets are,
and they have the right head coach. I love Brian Flores.
I do too.
I think he was a really good hire.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, anybody would lose when they're getting rid of all of your players. You know, I mean, it was just a disaster. Which, you know, goes to say that I think the Jets are the worst situation. And not only has Adam Gase pretty much ruined that, Adam Gase ruined the Dolphins too. There's a reason why they were bad, you know, to begin. So yeah, I would say the Jets are the worst for sure. Because you're not going to win anything with them.
Can't wait for that big Jets-Giants matchup coming up.
Oh, yeah. Get fired up.
It's going to be good. Get your tickets now. So I saw this last night. I read this article in The Athletic. Vinny Bonsignor that wrote it about London because they just finished up the London schedule this past weekend. And, you know, there's always been – I think it's 17 straight years now they've had London games. But there's always been that thought of, could the NFL actually have a team in London?
Yeah.
And he wrote this article about that the league and the LA Chargers could have interest in that actually being the case.
Yeah.
And so he laid out that he's talked to league sources and laid out this entire plan. And the reason I bring it up is because it could affect the Titans, because in this scenario, the Chargers would leave the AFC West and could either move to the East and the Dolphins could come to the South,
yep.
The Texans then go to the West, or the Chargers could go to the South and the Texans to the West. Either way, it looks like Texans would move to the AFC West. So if the Chargers did move and they're in the AFC South, the Titans are playing in London every year.
Yeah, and you know, that's all right, so that's a huge thing. Let's break it down step by step. So first, just a team being in London. Yeah, I think that it, one, could work, and two, I think the NFL would be all about it because we talk about...
Oh, they want it.
Oh, yeah, because we talk about the NFL wanting to get to, what was it, that $25 billion valuation, that number, right?
Per year?
Yep. So we talk about, you know, they're wanting to change the preseason, right? Well, that's money lost. How do they make it back? You enter new areas, you know, permanently, right? Like, the only way the NFL is going to make more money is expand. They've pretty much kind of tapped the market here in the United States in a good way, right? So I think the NFL would absolutely have an interest in doing that. Two, the Chargers are stuck in no man's land. Them moving to Los Angeles was...
And everyone seems concerned about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Like, look at this past Sunday. It was all cheeseheads.
Well, I mean, it would be like this. If anybody listening is not familiar with the demographics of Southern California, San Diego, Los Angeles... don't like each other. It would be like if you took UT Knoxville and you put them in Tuscaloosa, right? So everyone in Knoxville hates you for leaving, and everyone in Tuscaloosa already hated you. I mean, it literally, like, so they're stuck in a place where no one likes them. They're paying rent to the Rams on this new stadium because Kroenke owns it,
yeah.
Right? Yep. So, I mean, it's a disaster. So, absolutely, London would make sense for them. Now, all right, two. So, we go to...
By the way, you've been killing the analogies today.
Yeah, killing. Very good.
I appreciate it. So, number two, in terms of moving divisions and things around, NFL's done that before. You know, it'll be weird at first, but this is, I mean, they've created divisions, right? Like, this
it would make sense, though.
Absolutely. I
mean, you'd have to move.
You'd have
some
to do it.
Around.
The big part would be this, is that now you have teams that are traveling consistently to London.
You're going to need two bye weeks.
Yeah. So you've got the Titans. Say they come to the South. Chargers go to the South, right? So the Titans, Colts, Jags all have a London trip in them now every year. Right. But you've got the Chargers who are playing eight games in London and they're playing eight games in the United States. So how do you work that? Because that's so much travel and you couldn't have them on short weeks, things like that. I mean, it would take, it's already hard enough to schedule, you know, the NFL. Adding that in, it's going to be difficult. I mean, they want their money. They'll figure it out. But that's the hard part. Right,
I got to be honest. I love an 8:30 in the morning game.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, I mean, cool. Like, yeah, just to get up and when you're waiting for a kick. If they're, say, like this past week where the Titans are on the road, you're not going. Okay, so you're just waiting for noon.
Yeah.
And having an 8:30 game.
Yeah,
I love that.
So if it were 8:30 for us, say the Chargers are playing.
Now the game stunk.
Yeah,
It would be nicer if the game was better, but the Jags were awful.
Yeah,
but I like having an option.
6:30, yeah, in San Diego, right?
I like having an option. Yeah. I know you're right. I mean, it's
no, I'm with you. I mean, more football, the better, right? I mean, you know, we're up, but
just spreading it out where it gives you more opportunity to watch everything.
I'm interested. You know, it was always the Jaguars that we thought were going to be that team,
and then Chad Khan bought him, and it seems like he's not taking him anywhere.
No, I mean, it seems like he's trying to buy the world. You know, I mean, this guy
he has a wrestling company.
Yeah,
like he needs to buy a winning team.
He's crushing it. So I mean, I think the NFL would certainly they want to tap into those markets. I mean, and remember, you know,
they have a stadium, like they have an NFL ready stadium that is brand spanking new,
ready to go.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
All they have to do is get a team.
And a fan base that we see, you know, that, I mean, they buy tickets to those games.
Oh, 80,000.
They don't care who
it is. No, it doesn't matter the matchup. It's always packed and loud.
Yeah.
But see,
so what do you think the realistic odds are? I mean, is it
with the NFL?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it would be good odds. And I think the Chargers
within the next what?
5 years.
Yeah. So within the next 5 years, without a doubt, there's a team there.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to. I mean,
I kind of feel the same way. At first I used to think, "Come on, enough. Just quit trying," but I get it now.
Yeah. I mean, and look at the NFL, like
they can get some other things out of this too.
Oh,
because if the players are like, "Hey, we got to have a second bye week." Like, sure. We can do that.
Does London demand
play
a Super
one more
Bowl
game?
I mean, I think you'd have to bring it to him.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
You'd have to give him something.
Oh, yeah.
And why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, it's not like you have a ton of fans that are going to the Super Bowl anyway. It's pretty corporate. So, you know, it would make sense. It would make sense. And, I mean, there's, you know, London's New York. I mean, you got a ton of money over there, you know. Right. And the NFL wants, you know, they've been wanting to get into China as well, which is a whole other topic. But I think once they saw what went down with the NBA.
Hopefully they will not contact the NBA.
The NFL is smart not to bring it up. They didn't talk about it.
Well, maybe that is when we always say too soon. That one's too soon.
Yeah.
What would be interesting if, you know, because the CBA, that's all, you know, hovering around this.
Yeah.
If a part of the negotiation, if the Chargers are like, yeah, we would love this, let's do it, and the NFL's like, yeah, and all the owners are backing them, and then the players are like, well, okay, let's get that extra bye week. Sure, we'll do that.
Yeah.
You're going to play an extra game.
Yeah.
That's the give.
That's
and then everybody, it's like, okay, there's the compromise. You're not going 18, but you're going 17.
Yeah.
And then you have two byes. Yeah. I could see something like that being a part of the
totally
the negotiations.
And it would be an owner's vote, you know, to do it. And, you know, if Goodell's saying, hey, look, you know, Spanos, you know, here they're going to London. We're going to get every owner's going to get an extra $30 million or whatever and keep moving it up each year. Yeah, of course every owner's going to say yes.
You know what? If they're going to just sell out every game no matter what the matchup is, then maybe they need to put the Pro Bowl there.
Right?
There'll actually be people there.
I know.
All right, we'll come back. One more segment with Alan Bell. This has gone fast. More NFL. Well, in fact, we'll get into some Titans stuff to close out the first hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, we always go down this NFL rabbit hole with Alan Bell because we enjoy it. But we need to talk about the local team, okay? And so I always like to get your perspective of what you're seeing because we talk about it so much. So, you know, just another one of those games, head scratchers on the road where it never felt competitive. It never felt good. It just 4 games now.
Yeah.
They've gone a first half, 0 points in today's NFL. When you look at the Titans through 9 games now, sitting at 4-5, what do you see?
I see a team that has an offensive problem. And I think that's it. I mean, you know, we can nitpick at other areas, but I see a team that is halted because of a poor offensive line play / lack of offensive line depth and the quarterback position / offensive coordinator. Those 3 areas. I think the Titans are pretty solid everywhere else, but those are 3 pretty big positions, right? So I think, first off, if you are the Titans, you've got to figure out they have to figure out who the quarterback's going to be next year. And I don't know what the answer is. Ryan Tannehill a bridge? You know, the Titans sit 13th right now. If the NFL draft were today, they draft 13th. Okay. So you've got options.
So that would put them just outside. If just to kind of give
It would
set
be,
the table for examples.
Yep.
What Watson was 10 or Mahomes. One was 10, one was 12. Is that right? Watson and Mahomes?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Isn't that right? One was 10, one was 12.
Yeah. So you're only going to have arguably three teams ahead of you. If it were, you know, today, you'd have the Bengals have the number one pick right now. The Dolphins, I think, are three. And the Bucs are, I believe,
yeah,
nine.
Yeah, Mahomes was 10, Watson was 12.
Yeah. So you've got three teams ahead of you that are probably looking at a quarterback as well.
In the same draft, by the way. How about that?
Right. So anyways.
Franchise changers.
Completely.
Two picks in a matter of three spots.
Yeah.
Franchise changers.
So they've got to figure out the quarterback. But then here's where it gets difficult. After this season, they're going to have to, once you figure out what to do at quarterback, then you've got a lot of decisions to make on all the other players that are coming up in free agency. And that's the difficult part. Where does Derrick Henry fit in this, right? Where does Jack Conklin fit in this? Where do, you know, I mean,
where does Derrick Henry want to fit in this? That's the question that I really have.
Yeah, me too. And I think Derrick Henry wants to work. I really think Derrick Henry wants to work. He is a guy that if you put him on a job site, right, at 6 a.m., he's going to go from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. He might have 10 minutes for lunch, eat a sandwich, and he's just going to work. And I think that's exactly who he is, and he wants to do it because he knows that's how he excels. And I don't know if this team – I mean, clearly this team didn't do it, you know, Sunday, you know, and I don't know.
I got to be honest, Alan. Yesterday, I brought this up, and I said, you know, I'm not here to always question because that's their world. That's what they do.
Sure.
I'm just giving you my opinion, which is what we're supposed to do on this show. I said, the thing that's been perplexing about Mike Vrabel, I'm certainly not rooting against him. I want him to have success. I want the Titans to have tons of success. But every week it's the head-scratching, you know, the Titans do things that just make you sit there and watch them and go, I don't understand. This is your world. This is what you prepare day in and day out, and they claim to be over there all the time. Why you come up with this? So let's just jump back to last season,
yep,
toward the end of the year. Well, when they started having success was when what happened?
When you gave Derrick Henry the ball.
You just started stuffing the ball to Derrick Henry, and he just ran crazy. And we all know about that four-week window. And by the way, what did that four-week window lead to?
Yeah.
Wins.
Yep.
Okay. So you finished strong other than the final game of the season when everybody was hurt and your quarterback couldn't play and you lost. It was win and get in,
yeah,
the playoffs. Okay, so you had success. And it's proven when you give him the ball, and Carolina was the 27th worst team in the league against the run.
Yeah.
So they've been awful against the run. And in the first half, you give Derrick Henry, your workhorse, your guy, two carries.
Two.
Like I know Mike Vrabel addressed this yesterday. He said, well, we had, you know, because of penalties, it pushed us. Okay, I get it. So that just means you completely abandon the run no matter what? I guess I don't understand things, and I think I know other people feel this way. You just sit there and watch them, and you say, I don't understand what they're doing. Like, why would ever be a game plan where he has two carries in the first half against a poor team against the run?
I think they try to do too much. And think about this. So you've got an offensive coordinator and you've got a head coach that are both learning on the job.
Yeah.
Head coach in his second year,
bingo,
offensive coordinator in his first year. So they're both learning on the job as we go, right? And I think that sometimes you can overthink things. Like, think about right now at work, anybody listening, like, right, you know, as you go, think about the best people at your job. It might be you, might be, you know, your buddy that sits in the cubicle, you know, next to you. Generally, they do the same things over and over and over, and they do them consistently, right? They don't try to do too much. They just try to do the key tenets, and you do them with excellence. And I think that this team might overthink it. Arthur Smith might overthink himself and say, you know what? This is a tough league. You know, we're playing a chess match. You know, Luke Kuechly's calling out, you know, our plays. Who cares? The week before, the Bucs had the number one ranked defense? And Derrick Henry had the best amount of yardage against them.
Against them. 75 like, yards was the best performance against that defense.
Yeah. Like, that's what the NFL is about. Like, be who you are. And play that. Like, Bill Belichick, his teams have done that forever. Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Like, if you looked up right now, if you haven't watched a lot of 49ers games, you would think, oh, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, he must be in the MVP conversation. Like, he's having a heck of a year.
Nope.
They run the ball hard, and they play defense. And he knows what he's doing because he's a good play caller, but he knows his spacing, right? And they are who they are. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been who they are for 50 years. Like, they really haven't changed at all. So I think there's a lot of learning to go along with that. But you're at the end of the rope now, because now you have to make a decision on Derrick Henry. And not that he's going to garner a ton of money in free agency, but you don't think there's a team out there that would say, well, we see what Mark Ingram's doing in Baltimore. He seemed to be worth the money, right? Like,
you mean when they ran for over 200 yards against New England
exactly.
on Sunday night?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's value in running backs. When people say, oh, there's no value, look at Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
There's value in running backs, right? Somebody will say, I know exactly what to do with Derrick Henry. So, long story short, the team's got to make a decision on that.
By the way, Christian McCaffrey also went in that draft pick 8.
That kid's
by the
amazing.
Way, the Titans had the 5th pick.
Yeah.
McCaffrey went 8. Mahomes went 10. Watson went 12.
That's an incredible draft.
How about that?
And think about how good McCaffrey is in that Titans game against the Panthers. One of his touchdowns, receiving touchdown, was a play action where they faked the handoff to Christian McCaffrey to throw the pass to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this guy's incredible. But, yeah, I mean, I think you've got, you know, an OC that's probably a little bit over his head trying to figure out, you know, to be too smart. When it's like, dude, just run the ball.
A head coach that at times definitely looks like it's in over his head, too, all learning. And yep. So I have said they need to get him help. Like, he needs – and I brought this name up yesterday. Like, what you're just talking about.
Yep.
You got a guy like Jay Gruden sitting out on the street. Mm-hmm. To me, I would go after a guy like Jay Gruden. I don't care what you give him as a title. It could be an assistant. It could be an advisor. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Get somebody who's got skins on the wall, somebody who's been there, done it, has been an offensive coordinator, he's been a head coach, and he gets it. I actually think Jay Gruden can coach.
Yeah.
I think he was with a lousy organization in the Redskins. I think he can coach. They, to your point, they need help, in my opinion. They need somebody on that staff that can help these new guys learn along the way.
Yeah, and here's the hard part is that, you know, the Titans look really good when things go, you know, their way. Mike Vrabel is 10-0 as a head coach with the Titans when they score 21 points or more. 10-0, right? But when it doesn't go that way and your offensive line falls apart and your quarterback, you know, you're switching in and out, you know, you're having problems there, it's hard, and it would be hard for anybody. So, I mean, they've got a lot of decisions to make, but they've got to fix that. They've got to fix the quarterback. They've got to fix the offensive line. And then you got to take a real hard look at the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator position. I'm not saying get rid of either of them, but if you want to go from,
evaluate.
If you truly, and I don't want to put that good to great thing out there, but if you truly just want to be in that upper echelon, people are going to have to get this thing going, or you're going to have to find new people.
To your point, if Jay Gruden's available and he's interested, you just hire him as the offensive coordinator. I like Arthur Smith.
Well, I'm not telling them what to do. Just to me, it's like you need somebody like that on your staff to help you.
And last thing I'll say on this, I know we're probably getting close, but Arthur Smith's value has been that he's been with the team. He knows all the players. Guess what? You look at that free agency list, this might be a completely different team next year. So what value does he have then?
Good point. It always goes too fast. Alan, thanks for doing this as always. Good to see you.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Alan Bell, CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports, at Alan Bell 247 on Twitter. Give him a follow. It takes all of like 1.2 seconds. Just click follow. He's a good follow. We'll come back. David Poyle at 11:15. Second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.